Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. And for those of you who are animal lovers, I know you are going to be fascinated and intrigued with my guest today. Her name is Dawn Bronte, and she is up in Anchorage, Alaska. This is a woman that has dedicated her life to being an animal communicator. And I think you're going to find that a lot of the insight that she gives in her book, Animal Voices, Animal Guides, is going to be very, very meaningful to you, especially if you've had some unique experiences yourself, as I have had. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Hey, Donna. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with someone that loves animals as much as you do and has had such an intimate relationship with them. Give us a little background on how you evolved into this arena where this became such a passion for you, because you've dedicated years of your life to exploring and researching communication with animals.
Right, right. Well, I've always had an affinity with animals as a child. I just loved animals and loved nature. And it wasn't actually until I moved to Alaska, I became the editor of a health and wellness magazine. And one of the articles I came across was about a woman in Anchorage who communicated with animals. And I had never really heard about that, as a profession or in a real sense other than the movie Dr. Doolittle and books like that. So I was really fascinated by it and amazed that there were people out here who did this. That was kind of gave me the initial, desire to contact her, to talk to her. It was a woman in Anchorage named Chris Long Ago who turned me on to a writer of the 1940s and 50s named J. Allen Boone, who wrote some of the just wonderful books about animal communication. He didn't really call it that, but he talked about communing with nature and animals in a very immediate way, and one that brought profound teachings to his life. And because I'm also really interested in reading, I was just fascinated by him. And it was one of those things that came very organically, kind of naturally, and snowballed into my interviewing a lot of animal communicators and talking with them and trying to figure out how this worked. For myself, the opening into really connecting with animals came about really unexpectedly. I never took any classes. I think partly it was because I had talked to people so long about this and was trying to figure it out. But one day while I was distracted, I think I was just in a very calm state, some little birds came to the bush outside my window in my office, and I had an immediate connection with them. It was really definitely a heart-to-heart or mind-to-mind connection. And I heard their communication inside my head as kind of words, as a general feeling. And from that moment on, nothing was ever the same for me.
You've brought something up that I think is quite significant. And throughout your book, you have a number of stories from people who you have come in contact with that have shared their intimate associations with animals, with communication. Now, you made a statement that I think is very significant. You became aware of a communication that, in your mind, it was formulated with words.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also find that there is symbology sometimes that comes along? Because I know one of the questions mm-hmm. that someone, I was discussing this with someone not too long ago, and they said, wow, you mean it comes in the way of verbiage in the head? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it also can be symbolic. There mm-hmm. are, your whole sensory system can be involved. Have you found right. that to be the case when you've done it?
Yeah, I found that exactly to be true. And in talking with so many different communicators and trying to understand how they did it, what I've learned is that we all receive this information in ways that are comfortable to us. I think because I'm a writer and because I work a lot with words, my inner translator device, you know, my universal translator, for lack of a better word, just translate it into words. And that's primarily how I receive communications with animals. It's definitely at a heart level, but I definitely always, almost always get the words. And I just, that's just me. I know other people who get messages in different ways, sometimes general feelings, so sometimes miniature little movies that play in their mind, sometimes as if seeing from the animal's perspective. You know, I think there's as many different ways to receive information like this as there are individuals. Some people are very empathic, you know, they feel things. I know of one vet who, she just has an amazing ability to feel in her body where the animal is holding or where there's an issue, and she can kind of, you know, her translation is that way, via feeling, via physical feeling.
That's a very good statement, I think, because that's so important for anyone who has wanted to learn how to do this. Now, one of the big factors, I think, whenever you're working on the intuitive level, there has to be a development of trust.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a feeling of awareness and trust about what you're sensing. When you were developing this for yourself, how did you prove to you, you're not out here trying to prove it to the world, you wanted to prove it to you that you were correct in what you were getting, that it wasn't just something in the way of fluff that's coming into your head because you wanted it there. Tell us how you were able to discern the difference.
Well, it's just, I mean, that's a great question because I think anybody who is learning animal communication for the first time, they go through that. We just go through that because we tend to doubt ourselves. You know, we're brought up in a society that's very rational and logic, and we tend to discount or be very skeptical of our intuition. So for myself, it was a lot of, I would always tell somebody if a friend brought an animal, I would say, don't tell me anything. I will give you whatever I get. And it was in feedback from the people. Sometimes I would know something that I couldn't have known, you know, unless I had that connection there, unless I had that the animal would tell me something that person would then say, wow, you know, that's right. And so I think it's an ongoing process that we do. I think anybody doing any kind of psychic work will find the same thing, is that you're constantly, or up to a certain extent, needing feedback and needing that confirmation. And then I think you begin to fine-tune yourself. I think you begin to discern when something is on and when something is not quite on and you're not quite getting it, or maybe you're projecting, you know, and that's another whole issue. I think there is an evolution that goes on as we become more developed in our intuitive abilities to really necessarily need to look at our projections, our holds, those things that keep us from seeing clearly, because we all have our own personal, you know, projections and belief systems that we like to apply to the world. I'll just tell you one other quick thing in terms of your original question there was, sometimes I would get information from an animal that I just didn't believe, I didn't agree with. And it was only in the confirmation process later on where it was showed to me, yes, that's true, that things really began to click for me, and I began to realize, okay, I'm getting things that are outside of my belief system, outside of my world paradigm, and yet they're valid, you know, for this individual animal. And so that brought another whole thing, which led to my interest in shape-shifting and seeing the world actually from an animal's perspective.
Now, that is a real challenge because you've made a statement here that I think is very significant. To see something from an animal's view, that is pretty tough. Now, I'll tell you, I was in a vehicle, in a sports car, not too long ago with both of my Scotties, and my one Scotty was just so contented, and I said, oh, gee whiz, you're really enjoying the view. And then I had to realize she didn't have much of a view because she was low. And what gave me a perspective was that I put my head down where her head was and looked up, and I realized all I could see were the tops of trees as they were passing along. But the thing is, there is that different perspective. And I think animal communication is so significant. Now, I know there are people in the audience that are going to say, Donna, I've tried this, but I'm getting nothing. I get nothing. I don't know that I can get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some exercises that you would recommend that a person try so that they make it okay to relax about this and to allow information to come through to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have two answers to that question. The first is the general answer, which is actually why I wrote this book. A lot of people had shared a lot of stories with me. I wrote a book called Animal Voices. That was my first book. And I had gotten a lot of feedback, wonderful letters and emails from people who would tell me these great stories about connecting with an animal through a dream or through a death experience, through meeting just an animal on the street, and it changed them significantly. And they would always end kind of with, but it wasn't really animal communication. And the reason I really wrote this book is because I contend there are many, many styles of animal communication. We don't have to say just because we're hearing it through words that that's the only way. I think we do connect and communicate with animals through a wide variety of ways, through dreams, through just simply sitting with our animal,
mm-hmm.
Through, you know, death experiences, through healing, through seeing an animal on television even or in a magazine, and it speaks to us in some way. We feel something. We are inspired in some way. So I think we need to keep in mind that there's many, many levels of connecting with animals. Now, the second answer, or the more specific answer, is yes. I think there are, you know, some basic guidelines we can follow. I definitely include a lot of different exercises in this book, you know, specifically because we all respond to the world in different ways. For some people, being very physical is going to get the best results. For some people, being more meditative and calm is going to get good results. I will say in general, though, however, I think the key for most humans is being able to clear and quiet our minds and just listen, to really let go of our expectations of how we think this should work or could work or needs to work, and just let it be. You know, animals are great teachers in that way. They're masters of being, and humans tend to be doers. You know, we love to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really to bring that connection, the first thing we need to do is to be, is to quiet ourselves and to shift ourselves into a more open, receptive type of awareness. And that connection comes in that way. And we build by it, you know. We build. For some people, you'll get communication right away. Other people, it may take months. You know, it may come unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just a lot of different ways that we can connect, but I would say everyone can connect. I think this is an ability that we all have within us. I think we all have access to this universal language. Our ancestors did this. I don't think it's anything weird or kooky. I think it only seems that way because, you know, we've been emphasizing the logical, rational side of ourselves, and we've divorced ourselves so much from nature, you know, culturally, at least here in the West. And so the times are bringing us closer back to nature, and I think that's why so many people are reconnecting, you know, with plants and animals and the earth and larger forms of awareness. And in the process, we open ourselves. We raise our own awareness and consciousness.
I had an experience, one of my first experiences, this goes back a number of years, was when I did an appearance before a group or with a very large group in someone's home. And while I was there, and it was pretty much after we had finished the function, I was sitting in their living room, and this huge, huge white cat jumped up in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's memorable for more than one reason, but one reason also is because I was wearing a dark brown outfit. Boy, I'm telling you, it was all white within like 30 mm-hmm. seconds. But this animal was doing something that was so unbelievable.
Mm.
It went into a deep, deep purr and then put its front paws up on my shoulders and then circled my neck with its arms, and its paws were connected right at the back. It was just like this.
Mm.
It was like a human hug, but it was
mm-hmm.
a cat hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just astonished by this. And this cat did not want to let go.
Mm.
And I remember being so surprised because this is very unusual cat behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the
mm-hmm.
woman that had the cat just apologized all over the place and said, she's never done this with anyone. I just don't understand it. And she proceeded to tell me the story about this cat. This cat had been found when it was a kitten, like at about 4 weeks of age. It had been abandoned. The mother was nowhere to be found. It was starving. And she took it, but she said it never adapted to certain behaviors of a normal cat because the mother wasn't there to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're real young, there's a lot of things that are communicated by the adult cat. And so she said it really had been a challenge. Now, this cat had to have been about 10 years old, but she said for her to do this with you, she said to put her arms up and around your neck, her cat legs, actually, I'd call them arms, but up around your neck and just purr. The purr was so loud, you could hear it. And I was doing my psychic work at the home, and I can remember just being so stunned by the whole thing. I mean, you don't often have an animal that will respond that way to you. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning experience that I had with cats, and I've had a number of experiences with cats. Of course, I enjoy dogs, and I've had special experiences with them. But when I reflect on that at this time, that animal was not only welcoming me, but I think, and it was unknown to me at the time, that it was trying to communicate something about how it was happy in its home, how it was so glad I was there because I was doing psychic work in the home. But there was all of this that went on. Of course, I was young and I didn't understand a lot of what was happening, and I didn't get rid of the cat. The owner is the one that came and got the cat off of my lap, and also the lint remover, you know, the lint unit, because I was covered. My whole outfit was just covered with these long white hairs. And she said, it's just amazing. But animals have this phenomenal way of reaching out, and sometimes it can stun people. It can make them very uncomfortable because it is out of their zone. Well, that didn't make me uncomfortable. It was just a very curious experience to me. And of course, now I understand more of it. But I'm sure you have all kinds of stories to share. Let's talk about something you brought up right at the beginning of the show, and that is animal dreams. I know I've had a number of experiences with animals coming to me, showing me things. There was a Scotty we had by the name of Pepper, and she passed away. And for 2 years, until we got our little guy, Victor, she was coming into my dreams and showing me a puppy that was going to be brought into our lives. And that's exactly the case. But she was always in my dreams. It's as if she said, you're not going to be without someone. You're going to have a new puppy coming into your life. And it was true. It was 2 years, but during those 2 years, she kept coming and showing me. She was very insistent on that. Let's talk about dreams a little bit. What's a special story you can share about animal communication via dream that you've had?
Well, I'll just kind of link this back to the cat because I also I had a dream. I wrote this about this in the dream chapter, a dream about a cat, and it was a very unusual cat. It was a silent cat who wore a little hat on its head. And I would have this dream, and the cat wouldn't say anything to me. It would look at me, and I would have the deepest, strangest feeling that this cat was very wise, very wise. And what happened is that I would dream this, and when I would dream it, I would remember that I had dreamt it before, and I knew I was going to forget it again. And it became one of those frustrating dreams where I probably had it, I don't know, 8 or 9 times. And finally, I had the dream again, and I remembered, and I knew I was going to remember. And I woke up, and I did. And it was basically, I think, an initiation, which I think maybe your experience with the cat speaks also to that initiation into not only the ways of cat, but this particular cat as a dream guide. And once I was able to bring that memory of the dream into waking consciousness, I was able to connect with that cat. Again, this was over a period of time, a number of years, and connect with that cat. And that cat became a very just a wonderful teacher, an animal teacher, mm-hmm. an animal guide, we might call it, you know, helping me with different things. And, you know, that was just an experience. I think, to me, it really spoke to connecting our dreams to our waking life as a kind of segue, as a kind of remembering, which also speaks to animal communication in general, kind of remembering of our deeper selves, of our unconscious or subconscious selves, and really bringing these all up and connecting in a way which is very awake and aware. I just want to give one other little quick comment on dreams, which is, you know, there's so many different types of dreams, like the dreams you alluded to of, mm-hmm. of departed animals who can come and give us messages. I think oftentimes animal guides, such as my cat, come in dreams because we're a little bit more open in dreams, or that boundary between, you know, that we allow ourselves in our waking life is a little more fluid. And I remember so clearly speaking to people who work especially with dolphins and whales, and almost always they would say to me, you know, the first whale or the first dolphin came to me in a dream. And often that would be an initiation of sorts, just compelling the person to go out and to swim with dolphins or whales and to dedicate their lives in that pursuit. So animals can come as messengers to our dreams, either as guides, as, you know, bringing specific messages. And then I think animals also sometimes appear because they are the dream shorthand in a way. You know, our dreams are very clever in using symbols. So sometimes animals come as symbols, as carriers of a particular animal medicine or a particular animal teaching, and we can learn from dreams that way. Really, we could write books about dreams. So.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a very short answer.
Yeah, well, I know. And dreams, I've always said, are past, present, and future simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much that can happen in 30 seconds in a dream that's almost like a book. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got started in the psychic area, was because of mm-hmm. dreams. Now, let's address something called animal totems.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had different guests on the show through the years that have addressed this, and some of them have come from the Native American culture.
Mm-hmm.
Animal totems are fascinating because
mm-hmm.
it may change with a person. They may have
mm-hmm.
something that's representative of them for a certain time of their life, and they actually may have a couple of totems that are associated
mm-hmm.
with them. How did you develop your insights regarding totems, and what would you suggest to someone that would like to know what their animal totem might be? I know of one gal that found out to her amazement her totem was the vulture. And
mm-hmm.
contrary to what you expected, the vulture
mm-hmm.
is an amazing, amazing
mm-hmm.
bird.
Yeah.
And so she had a whole different view of herself, and she said
right.
it was really a shock to her when she found out that her totem was a vulture. So
yeah.
It's really an education. How would you recommend that someone become aware of that?
Well, it is an education, and that story speaks to someone being very open to the message that she got. You know, I think we need to keep in mind that, or my perspective anyway, let me just say it this way, is that an animal teacher chooses us.
Mm-hmm.
And at some level, we choose that animal teacher too, but I think, you know, humans, we like to direct things, we like to kind of be in charge, everyone wants the pretty animal to be their totem, you know, the porpoise, the lion, the this, the that. Sometimes we do have incredible animal totems or guides who come to us who may be in a form that we're initially afraid of, a snake, a rat,
mm-hmm.
A vulture, or something we dislike. I think in those cases, that's a very powerful teaching coming to us. And especially, I mean, I write a lot about this in the book, is when we get animal messages or animal viewings or totems that come to us that we don't like or that we're afraid of, that, man, we're sitting on a gold mine then, because that is exactly the medicine that we need right then, right there. So I would say paying attention is the best way to find out what your animal totem is. It may come to you in a dream. You may start, you know, sometimes I think just by saying, I would like to know my animal totem, if you say it with respect and with the intent of really wanting to see, is we can get it in the most amazing ways. We can look in the sky and see an image of a turtle in a cloud. We can be paging through a magazine and seeing you know, an orca, and then we see on the next page another orca, and that evening there's an orca on TV. Sometimes it comes like that. If you want to be very practical about it, you can get yourself a deck of animal cards and go through and draw one. So there's many different ways. I think there's just a ton of different ways of doing this. I will also say, just to reiterate what you said before, which is that, you know, sometimes we have an overall totem kind of for a lifetime teacher. Maybe it's dog teaching us about compassion or having an open heart or friendliness. And then other times, and then we may also have very specific totems for specific situation. I remember I had a bad disagreement with a neighbor, and I was driving one day thinking about that, thinking, what do I need to know about this? And a raven flew directly at my car, really low, I mean, vision-wise, so very low, is a very unusual behavior for a raven, and swooped up and over. And I kept getting ravens that day, and you know, I really needed to look into what is raven, what does raven speak to, what do I need to see about this woman who actually had raven black hair, you know. So it all started to come together, and I think when we're open to looking, when we're open to being receptive, that's when those messages come to us, and that's when we are most receptive to finding out who our guide is for that specific day or that specific moment or for a period of time.
One subject that usually is a very difficult one is the subject of death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a part of our life experience, period,
mm-hmm.
whether it's our own or it's an animal. Mm-hmm. When we have our beloved pets, their lifespans are much shorter than ours, and so
mm-hmm.
for so many of us, it's a very, very deep experience when it's time to say goodbye. Now, in your book, you describe some very specific experiences where some of the animals communicated that they wanted to be allowed to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting when you allow for that. It can be quite a learning experience, and they seem to have sometimes a better grace about death than the human race does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my bias speaking, of course, mm-hmm. right there. But I would like you to speak to that for about a minute, because I know we're coming close
mm-hmm.
to the end of our time together.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think you're right. I think in general, animals, again, they're more about being, and I think there's much more acceptance of death as a natural experience, and it's not something to avoid or not talk about. And I think many animals do come into our lives to teach us specifically about the grace of death and embracing death and opening to it and really being very present at it. I mean, I was with both of my dogs when they passed away, and it was a privilege and honor to see that, and it definitely changes you, I think. The more
mm-hmm.
present we are, the more conscious we are, the more alive we also are.
Right, and we appreciate
yeah.
each moment and as
yeah.
much as we possibly can when we do
yeah.
have them. Now, Dawn, your book, again, is Animal Voices, Animal Guides. You have had the previous book out, and this is a wonderful complement to it. So what website do people go to find out more about your work, what you're doing,
uh-huh.
and the information on your materials?
My website is animalvoices.net. And there are information on all the books and chapter excerpts, and you can contact me that way. So come visit.
Well, it's been a delight. And I hope I have a chance to see you when I'm up in Anchorage.
Yes, you too.
So
me
I
too.
Hope we'll
Thank
be able
you
to
so
connect.
Much.
This is wonderful. Don't forget, go to her website, animalvoices.net. Very forthright, very candid book, Animal Voices, Animal Guides. It's a good read. You will enjoy it. There's a lot of very personal stories in there that I know will touch your heart and your mind. And who knows, you may discover a whole new talent within yourself, maybe even becoming an animal communicator yourself. Don't forget, animalvoices.net is her site. We are going to be taking a break in just a moment. Don't go away. Again, Dawn Brunke. Her last name is spelled B-R-U-N-K-E, Animal Voices, Animal Guide, website, animalvoices.net. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call this toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, remember, I just need your first name or initial, and I love to know where you're calling in from. Then sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question. I want to remind those of you who are listening from the state of Washington, I'm going to be appearing tomorrow at the big event that's being held at Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. It's the Boeing Parapsychology Employees Expo, and it's being held from 9 until 5, free admission. But I'm going to be there speaking. I'll also have a booth along with many other vendors that will be offering different products and services. And it is just an absolute joy to be able to participate in this event every year because there is so much going on. It is absolutely delightful, and it is something you can bring your family to. It's a wonderful way to spend a Saturday, and it's going to be crisp and cool here in the Pacific Northwest, so come along and just relax and have a good time. It's a great way to start the fall off. Also, I want you to know you can go to their website to get the exact address, the directions, everything that you may need in the way of information at bepcweb.org. That's Boy Edward Paul Charlie Web.org. And you can go in there, get directions, you'll have everything that you need to attend. And I will be doing many consultations. I am also cleaning out my library so that I can make space for other publications that I have received. So there will be that available to you also. So there's going to be a lot going on at my booth there at the expo. So I hope to see you there. Do stop by and say hello, if nothing else. Also, for those of you who are in Florida, I am going to be appearing at the Teresa Tapp retreat, which is in Safety Harbor, Florida. And I will be available. There will be increments of time that I'll be available to do private meetings with people. If you would like to do that, then call my office, 800-872-8852. I'm also going to be in Alaska I'm going to be in Safety Harbor, Florida, the 1st of October through the 4th. And then I'm going to be in Alaska the 12th of October through the 18th. So if you're in Alaska and you would like to meet with me, then give me a call again at my office, 800-872-8852, and we can always work out the time and the particulars when you would like to do that. Let's go to our first phone caller of the day. I want to welcome you to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Dawn in North Carolina.
Hi, Dawn. Where in North Carolina?
Wilmington.
Wilmington, beautiful area.
It is beautiful.
I have some relatives that have been out in that area, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. Of course, I think the Carolinas are anyway. They're just beautiful.
Yeah, it's just absolutely beautiful here.
It is just beautiful, beautiful country. But you can keep your snakes and your bugs.
I beg your pardon?
I said you can keep your snakes and your bugs.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, we don't have the no-see-ums like Charleston has, and it's not really a big problem here.
Well, that's good to hear.
Out where I live.
Well, that's good. They must have really given them their marching orders where they disappeared.
Well, you know, around creeks and things, they do have a lot of snakes and things. But one thing, the ocean, you know, they don't really hang around the ocean so much, and that's one reason I love the ocean. I mean, you have to worry about sharks more than snakes.
Oh, that's no problem. Oh, that's fun. Okay, Dawn, let's get down to business with you. First of all, it's time for you to go through those file cabinets and purge some old records that you no longer need, because you are going to need that storage area for some of the records that you need to keep handy. And apparently there's a particular storage area that's very convenient for you to get to. So it's as if there needs to be a reorganization of papers so that you can have pertinent documents in a locale that is very easy for you to get to. Also, there's something relating to members of family. So I'm wondering if maybe you've got some older members of family that you want to keep records for, so that should they be needed, whether it would be for a medical problem or whatever, you'd have access to it almost immediately. And
I mean, I have a doctor sister that pretty much keeps up with that.
Well, you may need to do it yourself.
Okay.
I don't know why, but you may need to do that. So it's something that I'm just getting just to be on the safe side, so to speak. Just making sure that you've got everything that is relating to certain individuals in the family. Maybe it's just having a backup copy in case something happened to someone else that might be keeping records. It never hurts to do that. But anyway, I'm looking at this first of all, and then I am looking at the word reorganization in big, big green and red neon-like letters. And I think you are going to be doing a lot of that on multiple levels in your life. And I'm seeing you very determined. Once you make up your mind to do something, you go for it. So this is something that when you decide you need to do the reorganization, whether it's of files in cabinets or personal records, or you're, you know, going through and getting rid of whatever you don't want, in other areas of life, you're going to do a very thorough job. It'll take you almost a good 5 to 6 months to get everything done. So be sure you put your to-do list together, because you've got a lot of things going on. We're coming into the holiday season. There's just going to be so much that you're going to be occupied with. But if you put your to-do list on a big piece of paper and big letters, and don't worry about pushing it to get it done, to say, I'll do it as I can. And you're going to find you're going to be able to, within 6 months, address everything that will be on your list. And you're going to be so pleased. It's like you have really done what you wanted to do. But make that list and put it someplace where you look at it on a regular basis, but you don't get anxious about it. You just look at it and look at what you're going to prioritize first. And that is going to enable you to get things done. I'm not too concerned about money with you, but I do see that as an issue coming up around 2010 to 2011. I'd say the latter part of 2010. And I want to say do your homework. If you're interested in refinancing or there's something that you're wanting to do relative to an investment, do your homework. You will not have a problem determining whether or not it is worth your following through and completing a particular financial arrangement. You will not be concerned about it at all. You'll get it done.
Wow.
What would you like to ask me today?
Well, I just wanted to know what you were kind of seeing around me, just in any way, besides the organization.
Okay. Well, I think we pretty much covered that, don't you?
Yeah. But I was just, I don't know, just kind of like life paths, if you see any new particular paths that are opening up or anything I should concentrate on creatively or financially, you know, you touched on that.
Well, I'm really not seeing any big deal right now. The biggest thing I was getting, because I think your life is pretty stable.
Okay.
And I think what it is just taking care of business now that needs to be taken care of.
Okay. Well, that's true, actually.
So I don't see your life being in any kind of tumultuous mess or anything like that. It's just take care of what needs. Just take care of what needs to be taken care of, dear.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You have a delightful evening now.
Okay. You too.
Bye bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in like Don did, here's the telephone number, 888-815-9756. We've got another caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Tanya, and I'm calling from British Columbia, Canada.
Well, hello, Tanya. BC,
hi.
Canada. That is a beautiful area, too. Tanya.
It is, and it's a beautiful day.
Oh, isn't it? Because you get the same kind of weather we get here in the Pacific Northwest. It is just glorious. It's cool, but yet the sun's out, the skies are clear, and it's beautiful. It's a perfect fall day. It's absolutely gorgeous. Tanya, you've got a good head for business, but for some reason, you feel like your brain is working on a peanut butter sticky level, and you are just frustrated with yourself. And I want to say, first of all, I want you to take better care of yourself. You are so tired. You do not get enough rest. You have had a very high stress level. And my stomach just seems to be going into upheavals. I'm just all tied up in knots when I'm focusing on you. So I want you to just relax as much as you can and realize that there are many things that right now that though it's tumultuous for you emotionally and mentally and your brain is going off into all kinds of different scenarios in your thinking and you go, I can't keep my thoughts straight. What's wrong with me? Lighten up. You need to back away. Take a deep breath, either take a deep walk, do something physically that is going to allow you to focus because you're sort of like a radio station that's getting a lot of static and you can't really pay attention to what's really going on in the station because there's too much noise. You have a habit patterning where there's so much noise overwhelming you mentally that you can't really pay attention and hear clearly what needs to be done in the now. And I can't blame you for this. This is not something that I just think it's a habit that you've gotten into, and we all can do it at any time, but especially when we're stressed, and that's where you are. I want you to take good care of yourself because if you don't, dear, your body's going to go, excuse me, I've had enough, and you're either going to get a cold, a flu, something where you're going to be forced to just stay down. And I don't think you have to go there. You don't have to get sick. That's not a requirement. Now, we're going to take a break, Tanya. Will you stay on the line with me?
Sure.
Great. We're going to come back with Tanya in British Columbia, Canada, in just a moment. Meanwhile, we're taking a break, and we'll be back. You, too, can call in 888-815-9756.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Let's go back to Tanya in British Columbia. Tanya, do you have a question for me today?
Since we are talking about animals, or you were talking about animals earlier, I have a question.
Sure.
I used to have a cat who has now been passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Molly, and I was wondering if you could enlighten me as to what was driving her to her crazy behavior.
Molly had a couple of things that were going on with her. Now, did you adopt Molly?
Yes.
All right.
From a pet store.
All right. Molly had an actual physical ailment that went from her nervous system up into the brain. And have you ever been around someone that's been super sensitive to sounds? Really, really super sensitive to sounds? Where
no.
It actually can make them ill? Your cat was like that. And there was something that created physiologically this high sensitivity, and she didn't know how to handle it. And she could hear things, like if the microwave was working, there'd be a frequency she could hear. There were other things, and what it did, it brought back memories for her. And the disorder that was going on in her physiological body was affecting the response that she had, and it registered in the brain when she was quite small. And then when you adopted her, it seemed to magnify. There were a few years where you didn't have too much of a problem. And then it seemed like at a certain point it began, and it was because there was a shift. There was something that was brought into the household, and you would have had no way of knowing this. But I think she was very, very sensitive to frequencies. And
like
her
spirit frequency?
No, it's more than that. It's like electronic frequencies.
Okay.
And the tones would really, really bother her. And what I'm getting is that I think there was a dysfunction in Molly's nervous system. Now, at this time, I don't know if it was because she was born with it or because something happened to her when she was a kitten. But
okay.
There was something physiologically that went into a disorder. And if she got a vaccination, it could have created even more sensitivity. You know, animals are like us. They have these nervous systems, and various things can affect them. And I've known of people who were so super sensitive to sounds or to light that if they didn't have certain types of environments, it would just literally drive them crazy.
Yeah.
So there was something going on with your cat physiologically. And I don't know that you or your vet even would have been able to determine what it was.
Yeah.
Well, how was she acting? Because I'm seeing her hiding.
Day one that I brought her home, like, she would be very loving every single day, very loving, and then all of a sudden it was like something snapped inside of her, and she would come lunging at me and attack me with full force, like teeth. Like, she would cut me up every single day. I had her for a couple years. We went through this for a couple years, and
mm-hmm.
It was just like, I just didn't know how to deal with it because she was also very loving, but every day, there was not a day that didn't go by where she would just snap and then just come after me and all my guests and, you know, walking all of the counters and the tables and trying to knock things off the walls. And
how old was she when you got her? How old was she, dear, when you got her?
She was 7 weeks old.
Oh, she was a baby.
Yeah.
She was a real baby. No, something happened to her, and I don't know what it was. There was actually something physically in the environment. It was a sound, and I don't think you could have heard it.
Hmm.
Something that would just create this agitation, and it's not something that I think anybody would have known that they could deal with. I really don't know. If there had been an autopsy, I think there would have been something that would have been found in the nervous system and the brain.
Okay.
But it went back a long, you know, it went back to the time she was a kitten. So
yeah.
I don't know if it was a microbe. I don't know if it was, you know, just something that came in, because I'm seeing something with chemicals that are reacting in the body. But I'm not a physician. I'm not a vet. But these are just things that I'm getting in my head.
Yeah.
So this is something that I don't know that the animal knew how to control. There was just no way for this animal to control it. I think
yeah.
It was just a response patterning. And you were there, and it wouldn't have made any difference who it was. It's just that response patterning. So is she still, I'm assuming she's no longer with you.
I had to get her put down because of it, because it was getting too much. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had an accident myself where I was in bed for months, and she would be coming to attack my injured leg while I was in bed and defenseless, and it got to be too much, and I had to get her put down, which was very, very hard for me, because she was like, I feel that somehow that this cat was actually like one of my soulmates somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I had such a relationship with her, even though she did these awful things to me every day, she was also very loving every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think you may have given her a blessing. You really might have, because of doing this. Because when she got out of it, she was aware of what she did, and it was very difficult for her. So I don't know that she could have controlled it. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like someone that has epileptic seizures.
Right.
And with humans, we know a little bit more, I think, than we do with animals, even though
yeah.
they do research with the animals. So, you know, things like this, when they are in the nervous system and in the brain, it's very, very difficult to know what to do with them. The animals can't speak to us.
Right.
As we are able to communicate with each other, and think of us as human beings. Look at how lousy we are talking to each other.
Exactly.
You know, it's not, we often don't communicate very well with our own physicians. So these are things that are really a challenge here, but I'm looking, and I don't see any regret on the part of Molly at all. I don't think she had any control over this, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Well, it was like she would just, like, Folsom just snap. Like, I could see it in her. I knew when it was coming, and I'd get ready for it. Like, it was just, yeah.
Well, that's a very special bond when you knew that. Hon, I've got to go. I'm out of time.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Donna. I really appreciate your information and feedback.
You're very welcome. You have a wonderful evening now. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, remember that love goes in all directions, and it does not know any size, shape, or color. It merely is. Let yours flow, because it enriches this experience we call life. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you live on Monday, same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.